Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He is Andrew P. Shea. I am Jim Galante. Andy, you got a big smile on your face. What's going on?
Yeah, I just, I don't know. There's a lot to talk about. There's been a lot of change and movement in college football in the last, 7 to 10 days. And we hinted, hit on it last week about there isn't really an off season anymore. It's just different levels. The only thing missing from college football right now are games, because otherwise college football is as newsworthy and relevant pretty much as anything else in sports. And that's the way it's going to be in the near future, it looks like. And it makes for a lot of interesting change. So if you're not a fan of change, you're probably not embracing what's going on in college football.
Well, since we have a podcast, we like change, Andy. It gives us things to talk about. And, listeners of our show all know that I'm a big baseball fan. And with essentially free agency for players, I have a tendency to compare free agency in baseball with free agency now that we see in college football. You mentioned the offseason. In baseball, it's called the hot stove league.
Right.
During the offseason. And when everyone feared free agency in baseball, what they found out was it made the offseason so much more interesting with so much more going on. And you could say that now with college football, with, again, essentially it's free agency for the players, but you also have coaching movement. And the big move this week was national champion Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. He moves on to the NFL. I still have a problem saying Los Angeles instead of San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers. And Andy, this is something that's been rumored for years for Jim Harbaugh. So, was this, he's just one step ahead of the law, meaning the NCAA and sanctions perhaps? Or was this just inevitable after so many years of him flirting with the NFL?
I think one step ahead of the law helped him solidify the decision, but he's always been flirted with, obviously, because he came from the NFL, was so successful in his first go around with San Francisco. But on the flip side, I think he finished what he set out to do at Michigan, right? Like, he brought a national championship in football to the University of Michigan. And that was his goal from the time he took the job, being a Michigan alum. It was sort of that important thing. And yes, I think the playing outside the box and being suspended, the rule box and being suspended for several games this past year as the Michigan State head coach and being banished from the sidelines was a factor, but I think this was inevitable in many ways, shapes, and forms. I would have wondered what would have happened if they made it to the national championship game, so that was a big step for them in terms of their previous two college football playoff appearances where they didn't get, they lost both games. I wondered if he had not won that game, would this have been as inevitable? You know what I mean, Jimmy? That's my only thought. And I think that's where the playing outside the rule box that has dogged him the 2023 season, that's why I think that would have been more of a deciding factor. But Michigan winning the national championship sort of made that a complementary factor, just from where I see it in my seat in the 700 level at Vet Stadium, which is my favorite place to watch sports ever.
Well, I think the point that getting the national championship, he completed his goals there at Michigan, made it easier. But he's been looking to do this, been talking to NFL teams for the last couple years. So there was a certain inevitability there, but I also wonder if he has a reputation of being a bit flaky, you know, personality. I wonder if that affected some of his opportunities in the NFL. But once you win the national championship, boy, that puts a stamp on your career. This is the guy. And the fact is, this is not – sometimes I'll talk about a team, things just fall into place for 1 year. They're one-year wonders. This is a three-year streak where he and his Michigan team have been outstanding.
Yeah.
So it was, not a fluke.
No, it was a three-year streak on the heels of – it was pretty hot in his kitchen, Jimmy. I mean, it was getting a little warm for the, you know, former Michigan quarterback and NFL quarterback as the University of Michigan head football coach. The results weren't there. The, you know, they weren't winning – elite type games. They were winning games, but not necessarily as many as they thought they should. They were, you know, just a few games over 500 during a 2 year run. They were losing bowl games. He didn't have a good bowl record, but you know, he believed in the way he coaches. And the unique thing about Harbaugh, we've said this all along, you know, did he break the rules? You're damn right. He did. He 100% did. He knows he did. He will take any competitive advantage he can find to win a football game. But he's, at the same time, he is one of the very best football coaching minds that I've ever seen, because he's been able to do it successfully at both the collegiate and at the NFL level, even at the highest levels. Now, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they made it to the Super Bowl. So he lost to his brother. But, you know, successful college coach, successful NFL coach. Again, uber successful college coach, goes back to college. Think about that, Jimmy, going back to college coaching, wins a national championship, and now going in the NFL. The train seems to be pointed in a very obvious direction, and it's for a reason. So, you know, think what you want about Michigan and they're playing outside the box of rules and what they accomplish, but the coaching chops of Jim Harbaugh cannot be challenged or questioned.
I agree, Andy, and it was easy as a fan of Penn State not liking Michigan. First of all, you talked about the couple years where it was getting a little hot in his kitchen. 2017, they were 8-5, 10-3, 9-4. They were 2-4 during the COVID season. So they were struggling. There was heat. Michigan fans, they wanted to see a change. And I believe he restructured his contract to stick around.
Yep.
And greatest decision ever by that Michigan administration to keep him on board, because the next 3 years were phenomenal. So I also have a tendency to say, to try not to go overboard with small sample sizes. You know, one team, best example was Michigan State a few years ago with Mel Tucker. He had one really good year and he parlayed it into this huge contract. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's off a very small sample size one season. But when you do this over three seasons, the way Jim Harbaugh did, you do it with, he didn't have the uber recruits that Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama did.
Correct.
Okay. So it's not like, oh, he has more talent than everybody else. He did not. And even I'll go so far as saying Michigan was criticized for their schedule, and their out-of-conference schedule was ridiculous. It was stupid.
Disgustingly bad.
East Carolina, Nevada, Las Vegas, Bowling Green. I mean, this was ridiculous. However, with that said, his last six games, he played five top 20 teams.
Correct.
And won them all.
And of course, did the thing that every Michigan fan really, really cares about, and that's beat Ohio State again for a third straight year, right? Like that's the measuring stick as the Michigan football coach. And the recruiting part of it was he believed he knew how he could win a national championship in the modern era of college football, and he stuck to his guns. That's great coaching, right? Like he didn't have to change. A leopard didn't have to change its spots. He didn't do it. And, you know, his departure from Michigan makes it, I mean, talk about the offseason. We opened the show with it. Jimmy, that's three of the four coaches that were in the college football playoffs are A, either retired, B, coaching in the NFL, or B, left the school to go to another college football playoff. They've had three coaching changes among the final four teams. Only Texas is Steve Sarkisian. It will be coaching Texas last year. Alabama, Michigan, and Washington all have different coaches. We'll have different coaches heading into 2024. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Andy, you're getting ahead of me. You went to quarter two's agenda, which is okay. But we will get there because I really want to talk about that. But just to finish up with Jim Harbaugh, and one of the things that we constantly hear, we hear from our listeners, we get to questions is, why can't James Franklin do what Jim Harbaugh did? Because their recruit rankings are similar. They're comparable.
Very similar. Yeah, very, very similar.
And, you know, my constant response to that is, well, there's also 90 other teams who have that kind of recruiting or lesser and don't win national championships. This makes Jim Harbaugh pretty unique over the last decade or two of college football.
Yeah, to me, it speaks to his ability as a coach. Yeah, okay, he knows he's not looking for the best guys. Jim Harbaugh is looking for the right guys. And they're guys that he feels he can put into certain boxes for the kind of program and the way he wants to run his team. That's what he's looking for. And he knows what he looks like. He wasn't even a huge, even in the last 2 years on their ascent, you know, three straight years in the college football playoffs, they weren't a transfer portal darling. He wasn't, you know, okay, McCarthy came out of the transfer portal, but that's one player. They had a few here and there, but it wasn't a lot, Jimmy. So it was his dudes.
It was. He had his formula. He had his way of doing it, and he executed his plan. He did a perfect job at that. Andy, we're not done talking about college football coaches. Stick around. Lots more to go. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. We're talking college football. Andy, in quarter number one, we talked about Jim Harbaugh moving on to the NFL. And you brought up in that first segment something that I did want to talk about a little bit more, which was the final four teams, the four college playoff teams, three of the four have lost their coach now in different ways. Saban retires, Harbaugh goes NFL, and ironically, DeBoer from Washington moves over to Alabama. And it brings up this, you know, how important are these coaching changes? And I think they're huge when they're at the top of the food chain like that.
Yeah, when they're this high up the food chain and there's that many of them inside your final four, there's something, that's something, right? I don't know. I mean, 5 years ago, this would be earth-shattering, right? But in the new era of college football and the transfer portal and NIL and, you know, now going to be a 12-team playoff, the game has changed. The whole sort of core and structure of the game has changed so much in 5 years. And in that change has come a bit of a shift in power. Whereas coaches, you know, 5 years ago, even, you know, a decade ago, there was so much inherent power and control in coaches in college football and their programs. The players and the modern game have leveled that playing field a little bit more. They get to have more control over themselves and what they do and how they do it. So the control, the coaches are in a more reactionary role, but the bottom line is these are, you know, Saban and Harbaugh. Think of those names, right? They will no longer be part of college football in 2024. That in and of itself, to me, that's the two name brands that have transferred to their programs and made their programs something at an elite level. They are part of the brand of that program, right? They were the front men for that program. Those two will be missing in 2024. And then now we get to see how does that play out on the field? Because it will have an impact. It definitely will. And, you know, in today's modern world, college football programs and being a brand are really, really important. So to me, it's more about, you know, money and marketing. I mean, I think Alabama got the right guy. I think Michigan's going to have a long walk home to find their guy. I think Washington did exactly what Washington expected. I think Washington did a good job as well, a really good job. Getting their guy. I think Michigan's going to have a long walk home because, man, defending national champions and a Harbaugh shadow, that's a big one. I know Nick Saban's shadow is really long, but Nick Saban, he was done. He knew it, too. He retired. To me, that's a difference than jumping from your alma mater back to the NFL.
Well, let's start with Nick Saban, and that's the biggest change in college football. He and Alabama dominated for the last decade or decade and a half.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect all these other changes were a driving force in him leaving. You know, the game has changed. And one of the best quotes I heard was, to expect DeBoer to be Saban is just totally unrealistic. But it probably would have been unrealistic for Saban to continue to be Saban going forward.
Yep.
Because it's a completely different game, Andy, going forward.
Yeah, and he even kind of admitted that it was the change was not easy for him. It made his job more difficult and taxing in ways he wasn't prepared to sort of go that extra long-term mile on at his age. I mean, he was honest about it. He was like, yeah, no, it's changed tremendously. And I respect and appreciate the way he sort of presented it, because it was unfiltered and it was honest and it was reality. So, yeah, I mean, when you look at the college football era in the college football playoff era in the four-team era, when history looks back on it, it'll be about Nick Saban and Alabama. There'll be Sabanos. It'll either be Nick Saban and Alabama or Alabama and Nick Saban. Whichever way you want to put it, either or, that's what this era will be remembered for in the 14 college football playoffs.
Well, in looking at some more of these coaching tenures, you know, Dabo Sweeney had this great year at Clemson. It coincided with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, two very special quarterbacks. Clemson is struggling right now to be what Clemson was. So, you know, things have to fall in place for everything to be perfect. But Nick Saban, the fact that he won a national championship at LSU, moves on to Alabama and wins a bazillion of them. It got me to thinking, though, about these big-name college coaches making moves, Andy. And I'm not sure that's always the right way to go. When you have DeBoer going from Washington to Alabama, I don't think anyone expects him to come up with six national championships in the next 10 years.
Correct.
like Nick Saban. But still, with Georgia, the big dog, the Southeast Conference, I suspect he's going to struggle there. And struggle is two or three losses in a season when you judge it by Alabama. But yeah, looking at some of these other big names, Andy, that have moved over the last couple of years. Remember just a couple of years ago, Lincoln Riley to USC, right, from Oklahoma. Brian Kelly from Notre Dame to LSU. There's, you know, that expectation level a lot of times is not met. I'll throw one more out there. Jimbo Fisher, a national champion with Florida State, goes to Texas A&M. All the resources in the world there, Andy. That didn't work.
So I think it's a good thought comparison, and it is really what you can expect from some of these moves, despite it being the transfer portal area, and you have the ability to enhance your roster in a separate second way. I still think it's, you know, has LSU been unsuccessful under Kelly? No, but have they been as successful as maybe they would have expected? Probably not. They're still losing too many games. I think the collapse of USC this year, starting in their bowl game last year with an elite quarterback, shows that the foundation and core of football, despite the transfer portal area, and I want to keep bringing that up, is you've got to have good recruiting. Well, Lincoln Riley didn't inherit good recruiting bones and good recruiting classes. He was able to put a Band-Aid on some holes and do some things and sort of make a little bit of chicken salad, but the bones were not solid. The bones were more solid at LSU for Brian Kelly. So it feels like there's a little bit of a mass exodus, and I think the player and roster-wise, I think Alabama under Caleb could have a rough 2024 by their standards and start to turn a corner in a year or two after that. But because they've lost a wealth of talent, the recruiting landscape instantly changes. Despite being the Alabama name brand, it's Alabama and Nick Saban. They were synonymous with each other. So that is going to be a big hurdle for Caleb to overcome. But yeah, no, those were huge names that haven't achieved success at the level of expectation, which it still proves that in college football, time is your ally. Look, it took Jim Harbaugh 89 wins and what, nearly a decade to win a championship at his alma mater. It still takes time, Jimmy. It is not a one-hit wonder scene. You know, we all wanted to watch Deion last year with him upheaving that complete roster, right? That's not structurally sound bones. They got off to a flying hot start. But your structure and your sort of base of how everything is built, that showed up.
And Andy, I think that's going to be, you know, the next big question in college football is how do you build this? How, you know,
right?
Is it, with the transfer portal, it goes both ways. It's not just about what talent you bring in. It's what talent you retain. Are you going to build something from the base up? And now you not only have the free agency of the players, but I'm also, it feels like more free agency, which they always had with the coaches. And, you know, I just wonder about these changes when you're going. It used to be you didn't see coaches leave a high profile major program. You wouldn't see a Lincoln Riley leaving an Oklahoma for a USC.
Right.
You wouldn't see a Kelly leaving a Notre Dame for an Alabama. You saw a Washington coach who was in the national championship game, Andy, make a move. I understand it's Alabama.
Correct.
But that's incredible.
Yeah, that is. That it, he, it didn't even take him a nanosecond to leave either. And so I, the way, it's a really good question of how you do this. And in a quick nutshell, you know, you've got recruiting classes, you're recruiting 25 guys, for example, and, you know, year over year. But the way I look at it is as you evaluate your roster year to year, I always start at half of your 85 or roughly go with 40. What is the makeup of your top 40 on your roster, right? If it's more than 25% of those are coming from outside entry, in other words, you're getting them from the outside instead of bringing them in and developing them, I'm not sure that formula has proven itself. I mean, look at Michigan. If you looked at their top 40 players that won this national championship, right, there is less than 15% of them came from outside being recruited by Michigan, right? So I think Michigan sort of told you that, yeah, you can have 3, 4, 5 guys playing huge, key, important roles along the offensive line, a defensive lineman, a quarterback, a third receiver, etc. So I think it's your top 40 on your roster, and where do they come from?
We'll have more to say about that in quarter number 4. I want to talk to you about how Ohio State is building their team for this coming year. But yep. First, in quarter number 3, your questions we ask Andy. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for us to take your questions for Andy. If you want to send a question for Andy, real simple, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see an Ask Andy button, and away you go. Andy, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Let's do this, Jimmy.
All right, let's start with Mike in Baltimore, who says, Andy and Jim, my question is about the upcoming college football playoffs. Do you think the committee should be able to adjust the seeds of teams 5 through 12 in order to avoid teams from the same conference playing each other in the first round? And should they be transparent about it and say we have Penn State ranked 10th but seeded 11th in order to avoid a game with another Big Ten team? Love the show. Thanks so much. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, to me, that sounds like you're getting on a merry-go-round, right? Like you're playing if A, then it could be B, but what if A beats B instead of B beating A, right? Like you're sort of, you're spinning your wheels on your on if and then scenarios. And I don't think it's a healthy way to set up brackets, right? Like I get the top four seeds. I'm not against it, but I just think you could end up playing if and then scenarios and having them try to avoid each other, and your if and then scenario could be wrong and they could end up playing each other. So I don't think beyond being 1, 2, 3, or 4, I don't think 5 through 12, at least this is just my thought, initially, an invitation to the dance is better than not getting an invitation to the dance. So if you're 10 or 11, what's the difference? And, well, we could play Michigan or USC or Ohio State in the next game if you're Penn State, for example. Well, I don't care about the next game. What about the game in front of you, right? Like, that's playing if or then scenarios. And I'm like, I just don't think that that's a good way to do brackets. That's just my opinion.
Andy, I think, it's a valid question by Mike. And I thought about this a bit. Now, in basketball, they will adjust the seeding to avoid same conferences. But the difference is there are 64 or 68 teams. Right. And whether you're seeded, 32 or 33 doesn't make much difference.
Correct.
Here, we've only got 12 teams, and perhaps 8, even 9, might come from two conferences, the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten.
Correct. So unavoidable.
I think the bigger issue is going to be this. Let's say Alabama and Georgia are ranked 1 and 2 in the country, which is not crazy.
No.
They play in the Southeast Conference Championship game. Georgia wins. They're the consensus number one. Alabama, with one loss, might be even still the consensus number two team. Doesn't matter. They're not going to be seeded in the top four. So all of a sudden, correct, because the first four are going to go to conference champions, you could have, a Big 12 champion that is Kansas State, a ACC champ that is Clemson, who might only be ranked like 8th or 9th in the country, but they'll get the number 3 and 4 seeds. That's going to be the bigger controversy, because you might have teams seeded 5 and 6 who might be considered the second or third best teams in the country, Andy. So that is part of that. Let's see. Where should we go? All right, let's go to Frank in Lebanon, who says, what is our problem at wide receiver? Multiple position coaches, multiple coordinators, lots of highly regarded recruits and transfers, but nothing clicks. What's the issue, Andy?
Ooh, this one's an onion. You got to peel back the layers, Jimmy. There's a lot to that one. Very astute question, though, Frank. And you know what, Frank? You deserve a ballpark answer. And it for me, it's two things. It is lack of cohesion, which has led to stunted or limited talent development at that position. And it, at the level Penn State plays at, and the gap between their talent development or stunted growth in the, at that position, in many ways, shapes, and forms, and there are a lot of reasons for it. Look, Mike Yurcich has a hand in this as the fired offensive coordinator in 2023. That was garbage for the receivers, the way he coordinated that offense. There's no other way around it. But he was working with a limited product. But the bottom line is, at that elite level, with what they're playing up against and covering them, and their stunted growth, that gap just becomes magnified tenfold. So their inability to get separation and get open and create themselves as a valid, you know, option in the pass game for the Penn State quarterback, no matter how good he plays, and think about, sorry, but think about Sean Clifford 2 years ago. Kind of, he had a little bit more to work with, but it wasn't a whole lot. That's going to show up. And it showed up in spades, and it only got worse as the season went along and the stakes got higher and the opponents got more relevant. Ohio State and Michigan.
Andy, I think some of it, you know, the points that Frank makes, multiple offensive coordinators, multiple position coaches, I think some of these things are part of the problem, that there were multiple of each of these.
You never created
the consistency. I also think there's a certain inertia with positions. You bring in a Saquon Barkley at running back, and he's a star. He begets Miles Sanders, who begets the next Journey Brown, who begets the next guy. We're seeing that at the tight end position. Doing well keeps you doing well. Ohio State at wide receiver did so well, they keep doing well. Wide receiver position has not done well. And then that, then the top receivers say, hey, wait a minute. Do I want to go to Penn State or do I want to go to Ohio State?
Right,
and Julian Fleming is, you know, the exhibit A. And perhaps Marvin Harrison is exhibit B, you know, a Pennsylvania guy. Goes to Ohio State. Why? Because they have the reputation for good wide receivers. So the good wide receivers go where the good wide receivers are. And I think that affects you in the transfer portal also. So, Andy, it all kind of builds on itself. Go ahead.
A good example. And this, the players themselves are partly responsible. Caden Saunders, right? Elite, highly recruited. You know, I think he was a five-star, right, Jimmy? You know, four, high four, five star. You hardly see him, right? Like that is, you know, and he bears responsibility. There's a gap between the talent and the development.
I believe he was a four star, but he, what you have as a difference is, again, the comparison to Ohio State, they bring in six.
Correct.
Caden Saunders. So if one or two don't hit, Julian Fleming doesn't Correct. Matter because you still have Marvin Harrison, you know. So that's the way these work. You bring in six premier guys, a couple of them are going to hit. You're not counting on just one individual guy to hit. I've often talked about this at quarterback, and we're going to talk more about Ohio State in the next segment, Andy, but, you know, every year they bring in a top 100 player at quarterback. Penn State brings in one, Drew Aller, over the last 8 years. They right. better hit on it. Meanwhile, Ohio State just goes through several of them. All right, let's go to Randy in Waynesboro, who says, Andy, what's your way too early win-loss prediction for Penn State this coming season? And will they make the playoffs? Real quick, Andy, if you're not looking at the schedule for next year, I will point out the games they have against West Virginia, UCLA, USC, at Wisconsin, home against Ohio State, home against Washington. So I think those are the six games you got to look at. Again, that's West Virginia, UCLA, USC, at Wisconsin, and then home with Ohio State and Washington. Those are the six games you got to think about. What's the record of those six? I'm going to assume they win the other six.
Yeah, all new coordinators, both sides of the ball, some talent still in the house. A high-end ceiling, 9-3, 8-4, 9-3, maybe. And are they a college football playoff team? They feel fringy to me. You know, they have some elements. They have some talent. They have some parts to work with, but they just feel – it feels like they're on the other side of the high opportunity window, and they have to rebuild another high opportunity window. And, you know, let's face it, all new coordinators, it's going to be tough. It's a lot of learning and a lot of new.
Andy, I think we've got to be careful of overrating some of this competition. West Virginia has become a bit of a darling team because they played fairly well this past year. But remember, Penn State dominated them.
Correct.
UCLA, again, maybe a little bit of a sexy name, but they have not been a premier team. They're hard dangerous.
To beat. Yeah, they're hard to beat.
USC, remember, that's a team that lost five games last year.
Box of chocolates.
Lost their, you know, perhaps the number one draft pick in the NFL Caleb draft Williams. With Caleb Williams. Yep. At Wisconsin could be a little bit scary, but, you know, it's still Wisconsin. Washington lost their head coach and lost a boatload of talent.
A bundle.
I think there's a bit of a recency bias there, seeing Washington in the national championship game. They had a really, 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 really good team in 23. What are they going to have in 24? I'm not so sure. Ohio State, well, we're going to talk about them more, Andy. That's an all-star team. So I think it's possible if the coordinators do their job, live up to expectation or hopes, I could see this team going 10-2 and being a playoff team.
It's all about the offense, Jimmy. It's about the quarterback, them having a more, you know, showing more horsepower and consistent horsepower out of the offense. It's, you know, the two running backs, the wide receivers, and the tight ends.
Very good, Andy. That's going to be it for Ask Andy. Thank you all for those questions. Stick around. Quarter number four, Ohio State, they're building an all-star team. Are they doing it right, Andy? We'll find out. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We are talking not just Penn State football, but college football in general. And Andy, we spent the first couple segments talking about all these major changes at the coaching level in collegiate football. And that sort of led into how do you build these teams? We talked about Jim Harbaugh, how he built his team.
Right.
The free agency effect that players can go anywhere. Essentially, they can go to the highest bidder, if you will. So now, coming into this season, what we have is perhaps a new model with Ohio State, which is all of the above, okay?
Right.
First of all, I do not think that they had a problem with retention. The list of players going into the portal, yes, there were some numbers there, but I'm not sure how many high-end players. Probably the biggest name was Julian Fleming, and Penn State's the beneficiary of that, but I don't think Ohio State is hurting at wide receiver. Then what gets overlooked is they also had several players who were NFL eligible, Andy.
Yep.
Who chose to stick around for another year. You know there was NIL money there to make that decision possible. So they did well there. Then to finish the trifecta, they also went into the portal and came, they raided Alabama, okay? They got like an all Southeast Conference, safety or cornerback. They got, safety, Caleb Downs. They got the freshman quarterback, Julian Sain. They got an offensive lineman from them. They got a big-time running back in Quinshon Judkins from
Ole Miss.
Yeah. And then they got the veteran quarterback in Will Howard from Kansas State.
Yep.
And they spent money on this. Some of the estimates were, I saw multiple reports that they spent over $10 million. There were some reports that they spent $13 million in NIL. Andy, is it an all-star team, and is that the way to make this work?
Well, Ohio State's going to give it a shot because what they're doing was not working, right? They couldn't beat Michigan. So they have to do something differently. And they've always had deep pockets, and now they have even deeper pockets. And I think while the recent guys that got out of the portal are eye candy, what strikes me about this is, okay, if you go back, a month or, 5 weeks, and it was the number of players leaving Ohio State in the transfer portal, including Kyle McCord and Julian Fleming, their starting quarterback, and a backup wide receiver were, a couple. A starting DB was a third, maybe, that was about it. But it was a numbers thing. And, it was like, oh my gosh, look at all the people leaving Ohio State. That seems like a year ago, right? And it was only weeks ago. They've got they're doing it on a multi-prong approach financially. They've got, their foundation, which is their, NIL collective for football and basketball, or football, and that's a 501c3. So it's, free. They've got the new one, the 1870 Society. That's where fans can make a one-time or recurring donation. This is fans, Jimmy, booster money. Right? Like, it's fans, it's regular people. They can give monthly or they can give one-time gifts, and they're producing money. But so their pockets are very, very deep. I think the most important thing to me is that they're using these resources, and they should lean into it. Schools are going to lean to it, and maybe they're doing a new model. The key in all of the money that they spent, whether it's 10 or 13 million, like you intimated, it's a lot. And the interesting thing to me is it pay to play? For me, it's pay to show up, right? Pay to stay or pay to switch. I think the key for them is the roster retention and using the NIL money to keep, you know, the 10 to 12 players that could have been gone on their roster. That gives them, you know, with all the eye candy of the transfer portal guys, and it's plenty of eye candy, trust me, the bones are still stronger than the eye candy that they're bringing in. And to me, that's a smart, efficient way to use your resources. They're not simply going the portal route. They took care of their own house first. And then when the portal made itself open season and Alabama's Nick Saban retired, because they got Will Howard pretty quickly after they left. They secured him. Pennsylvania kid, by the way, from Downingtown. They smartly secured their own house. And now more recently, they're shopping in the portal. And they're not done, right? There's still another one after spring ball. They're going to be a player at that time too. I expect Ohio State, with the way they're doing it and the multi-pronged approach on both fronts, whether it's financially or the way they're building their roster, and they're still, like I said, they're still not done. I think heading into 2024, they're probably going to have what I would consider one of the top rosters, if not the top to bottom roster. When you look at your top 40 to 50 players, I think they're going to have the best one, if not one of the best ones in the country. Now, what does that look like? How do you pull that all together and make it a team? Because we know all-star teams inherently fail because they're about the individual. The team still matters more than the individual. And individuals are important, but the team concept still matters. Can Ryan Day be the guy to be the puppeteer and take all of those income sources? They've got three of them, and all of these new players, blend the old with the new and make it work in a one-year wonder. Because basically Ohio State saying in 2024, now it was kind of always an undertow, you know, because of the number of games they win, they should win a national championship. This is literally his job is on the line unless they play for, at the minimum, or win the national championship. The way they're spending and building, it just screams they have to succeed at a high level or else.
They do, and it was interesting you start to talk what will be considered success. And, you know, now just making the playoffs, winning the Big Ten, they're going to play Michigan again this year. They're going to play them every year. They better not lose that game. And I would think with Michigan's losses and specifically Jim Harbaugh moving on, we haven't yet seen if there are going to be more players hitting the transfer portal because Harbaugh left. But you've got to think that should be a game Ohio State will be favored in and should win. But that's not good enough now. With a 12-team playoff, you know, even if they're the Big Ten winner, get one of those top four seeds and a bye the first round, they better win one or two playoff games because of that pressure on them.
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I was just going to say, you also have a situation where, okay, we're going all in for this season. What happens if you go all in and it doesn't work out?
Right. I don't know. I know if they're going all in, and if it doesn't work out, I think there's a stepladder approach to this, but if it doesn't work out, oh, it definitely is going to cost Ryan Day his job. And I think he knows that. I mean, I think there is a bit of a stepladder this. Beat Michigan. That's priority one. It's not win 10 regular season games. It's beat Michigan because they're going to win at least 10 or 11 regular season games. Beat Michigan, right? They just simply are going to have more talent than anybody else in the Big Ten. Beat Michigan. Step one, win a Big Ten championship. That still matters, right? Because then that guarantees you into the top four, home game, et cetera. Win the Big Ten championship. Win a college football playoff game or two. You nailed it, right? Play for the national championship. You don't start at the top. You start at the bottom. How many of those boxes does Ryan Day have to? They might not beat Michigan. They're still making it to the college football playoffs, and they could play for a national title. Is that good enough? if they win it, obviously that's the answer to the question, is winning the national championship. Can they play for the Big Ten title and not win that game and still make it to the college football playoffs and play for a national championship and lose and not be good enough? This feels, at when you're spending $10 to $13 million, is second place good enough? I don't think so.
A couple of thoughts. It's how you get there. But I do want to point out also, Andy, I think if they win the Big Ten, you get one of those top four seeds. I don't believe you get a home game. I think that home game is just in that first round for seeds 5 through 8.
It's a preferred game, right? You're going to get a preferred game.
But I think the other part to this, though, and just to put a little perspective on this, we hear numbers like 10 million, 13 million go, oh my goodness. But if that's the cost of the team, you're paying $10 million for a coach.
Right.
Add in the rest, add in the coaching staff, you're spending more on the handful of coaches than you are on the whole team. If you think about how much revenue is coming in to Ohio State or any other major football program, all of a sudden that 10 to 13 million on NIL really doesn't look like it's all that much, Andy.
I mean, they just hired Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator. He ain't cheap, right? That was not a cheap hire. Bill O'Brien does not come with a reduced ticket price as your offensive coordinator. He's a high market rental as a coordinator. So, you know, yes, but
I still wonder, Andy, if how all the personalities in the culture will work.
Right.
Penn State has found a way to have 2-star running backs. Can Ohio State do the same thing with Travion Henderson back and Judkins coming in from Ole Miss when you've got a guy coming in from outside?
Right.
You know, how's that quarterback room going to look?
Right.
You assume Will Howard will be the guy because he's the veteran that they're coming in. And then they have several young guys. Will any of them actually challenge him for that starting job? How many of them are going to leave the program maybe after spring practice? You don't know some of those other things, which are the cultural fits that, you know, we contrast it with how Michigan built their national championship team. I still have some question marks. And they are also bringing in a new offensive coordinator. We know from experience that doesn't always work well, Andy. Anyway, that is going to have to be the final word. That is it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.